Steve Blass joins us on Sports Byline USA. He played 10 years in the major leagues, all of those in a Pittsburgh Pirates uniform and an outstanding pitcher. Matter of fact, 1 year in the National League, he led the league in shutouts with 5. And, of course, he played on the 1971 Pittsburgh Pirates World Series championship team when they won the World Series against the Baltimore Orioles. He has a book out called Steve Blass, a Pirate for Life. You know, when somebody writes a book and you've had a chance to kind of step away from your professional life and look back, I always think it's interesting. What was it like for you to reflect on your career and your life?
Well, it was great, Ron, in some circumstances, and it presented some emotional memories that weren't so pleasant, but we ran the whole gamut. In fact, I started the book with a chapter called The Abyss, which was a chapter that really went into detail about what it was like going through what I went through when I was at the top of my game and had won 15 games for 5 straight years and a couple games in the World Series. And then all of a sudden, after a 19-win season, went from the top of the heap down to the lowest depths possible. And the frustrating thing was that I didn't know why. I didn't know what caused that whole scenario, but I couldn't throw a ball toward home plate with any consistency. And I went from 19 wins to 3 wins to out of baseball. So it was a challenge, but I think that was the interest of the book that possibly separated it from other books, in that I don't know if anybody went abruptly from those heights to those depths. And so we started off the book with that, because that's kind of the hook. And people, I think, around Pittsburgh especially, would have some interest in finding out what that was like going through those 2 years. And it was awful.
Yeah, let's talk about it since you brought it up. You know, I have a friend of mine, Joe Morgan, who once said to me, the key to being successful in sports, particularly in baseball, is that when you go 0-for-4, you forget about that, just like you forget about it when you go 4-for-4. What he's basically saying, you try to stay as evenly keeled as possible. That's not always easy to do in a sport and a business where you're evaluated on a moment-to-moment basis, Steve. So take me back to those seasons leading up to the ones where you struggled.
Well, first of all, I had a real good year in 1968. I was 18-6. I had actually 7-8 shutouts that year, but that was the year of the pitcher. So I led the league in winning percentage, but Bob Gibson, that was the year he had the 1.12 ERA, which is just crazy, along with 28 complete games. So the world was a little different for pitchers that particular year. And he had a 1.12 ERA, and he was 22-9. Now, who the heck beat him 9 times? That was the question. But I started, that was a string of 5 years where I was averaging a little over 15 wins a year. So I was on a very nice roll leading up to our World Series in 71, won 15 that year, and then 2 great starts in the World Series. That was just phenomenal. And then the next year I won 19. And finished second in the Cy Young voting. And then the next year, 1973, got off to a decent start, but just got into a slump. And, you know, when you talk about going 4-for-4 or 0-for-4, we all went through that because it's a long season. It's the longest of any professional sports season in terms of games. So I figured it was just a slump, but it was a slump that got further and further and deeper and deeper. And the longer a slump goes, the tighter you get. And it was almost like an elevator, a descent into the depths of pitching, and it was just, I don't know what caused it, don't know why it started, and it wasn't a specific incident, but there were a lot of good years leading up to it. To get back to your question, but then all of a sudden it unraveled and it never got any better.
Yeah, I see the ERA climbed to 9.81 in that 73 season. You walked 84 batters in 88 and two-thirds innings, and you struck out only 27. Most people probably on the surface would say, Steve, it was more mental than it was physical. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I had the perfect pitcher's body. I weighed about 175. I was about 6'1". Never in my life had a sore arm. And I thought I could pitch till I was 40 because of that, because of the way I was put together, and the fact that I wasn't a guy that threw the ball by people a lot. I did a lot of pitching. I didn't do a lot of throwing. And so I thought it would last well into my 40s, and I loved it. Nobody loved it more than I did. They might have loved it as much. But all of a sudden, it just was not there. And what made it really difficult and what created those numbers you just talked about was the fact that I couldn't quit. I couldn't give up until I was absolutely convinced that I would get it back or that it would be over. So I went through hell just making sure I didn't leave any stone unturned. So, you know, I could have just shut it down and those numbers wouldn't have existed like that, but the numbers were secondary. I tried everything. I tried transcendental meditation, psychology, psychiatrist, everything down the line. I threw from my knees. I threw from the back of second base. I pitched every day for 2 weeks. I didn't pitch at all for 2 weeks because I wanted to be convinced if it was over. I didn't want to wake up when I was 80 years old and think, boy, you know what, gee, I wish I had tried that. And I was thinking along the line, maybe something would just click all of a sudden and it would come back. It never did. But I can sleep well now because I didn't quit until I was convinced. And then finally I went to the Pirate Brass and they couldn't have been nicer. And they said, when you've had enough, let us know. And I said, Uncle, I've had enough. I tried everything. It's not there. The only thing I was happy about was that the fact that it happened at the end of my career, not the beginning. So I had a chance to experience everything I dreamed about, you know, getting into professional baseball, getting to the big leagues, winning 100 games, you know, pitching in an All-Star game and a World Series. And the teammates, I had three Hall of Fame teammates, Willie Stargell, Bill Mazeroski, and Roberto Clemente. So I was one of those rare people that got a chance to live their dream, and I'm still living it in the big sense. So a couple of bad years out of a kind of a fairy tale life, I've got no gripes now. I wish I could have pitched longer.
I know while it was tough to go through, I'm sure that there were some funnier moments associated with it as well, Steve. And I say that because I know that baseball lends itself to superstition and that guys will say, well, I'm not going to change my underwear until I either win another game or lose another game. Did that come into play at all during this?
Rarely, but there was an incident or two because I got wonderful support. I actually received hundreds of letters each week, and I don't remember any negatives, but the one guy sent me a letter. He says, Steve, he says, I'm a hunter. I live in Virginia. And when my aim is off, I finally realized it was because my underwear was too tight, and I hope this might help. So I showed the letter to all my teammates and laughed. We all laughed like crazy, and then I promptly went out and bought looser underwear. That didn't work either, but we all got a laugh out of that. But there weren't many funny times, and I was always the life of the clubhouse. But, you know, the fun is there, the laughter is not there as much when you're not going well. You're funny as hell when you're pitching well. The jokes are great, but it was a tough time.
Also, what about your teammates? Because when a player is struggling, they tend to shy away from being around them, trying to let the player work through it. And I'm sure that maybe even some players from other teams tried to help out as well.
Well, not so much other teams, because that was a different time. And I could go chapter and verse about how I feel about the fraternization between opposing teams and opposing players now. But back then, we didn't know anybody on the other teams. We didn't want to know anybody. We were trying to rip their face off. So it wasn't the other team, but the guys on my team, and it was difficult for them, and I was so sensitive and so attuned to that. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know whether to get me upset and get me angry. They didn't know whether to take me out and get me drunk. They were walking on eggs around me, and that hurt because we had always had a clubhouse. We had a bunch of characters that were phenomenal, you know, from the Clementis down to the Doc Ellis's and everything in between. And they were walking on eggs, and that probably hurt a thing because they didn't know how to handle me, and they didn't know what to do. And I knew they all cared desperately and were rooting for me and stood tall for me. But it was a difficult time for them, too.
We only have about 90 seconds before we have to break here, Steve, but I'm sure at some point you had to come to grips with it after your career was over with. How did you put it in its proper place so you could move on with life?
Well, basically, very simply, it was what I did, not who I was. It was that simple. You know, I was a baseball player, but I'm still a person. I've got a lot of years in front of me, so I can't quit. You know, I that was the whole thing, and that was the advice I gave the Noblocks and Wohlers and Ankiels. Don't quit. Don't quit until you're totally convinced, because if you quit, you'll never have a chance to get it back. But if you keep working and you don't quit, something might click. But it was what I did, not who I was. So I came to grips with that, and that helped a great deal. And plus the fact I played before free agency, so I needed to go out and get a job, and that's what I did. I had a family, a lot of years in front of me, and you know, I didn't get so high on a plateau as a major league ball player that I forgot who I was and what my responsibilities were outside of baseball. And that's a grounding that that I probably was helped with from my parents when I started growing up.
We're talking with Steve Blass. His book, check it out, Steve Blass, A Pirate for Life. We're going to be talking about his World Series efforts and some of the great teammates that he played with as well. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.